Jacob TTT. Oh.
Truth Frequency yeah. Radio.
Mute up, guys.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Today is Saturday, January the 17th, 2015, on this live edition of Angry Beaver broadcasting live out of Kanatistan, occupied by globalists since before I was born. I was born in 1982, and Canada, or Kanatistan as I call it, has been occupied by globalists since before I was born. So all you old-timers out there who don't know what a globalist is, what the hell are you thinking? A clue what's going on, do you? Anyways, we're here. We've got Ryan Elson with us on the broadcast from the west coast of Kanatistan. Are you still over there on the Isle of Victoria?
Yeah, I'm still over here in Victoria.
Right on. Now, how's that smoking ban doing?
I think everybody's ignoring it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I see smokers all over the place still, and they're not paying attention to the rule, and I don't believe that they're enforcing it. So, I guess the public has pretty much rejected what city council has voted in.
Right. So for those who don't know, there was a smoking ban or bylaw ordinance, so you couldn't smoke within so many kilometers of the downtown core of Victoria, British Columbia. And now time has passed, this ordinance is in place, and everyone's ignoring it. And that's one thing that, you know, seems to work, is if nobody pays attention to it, what are they going to do, fine everybody? You know, there's not much.
Well, I always figured if they start fining people, then my idea of people just occupying one of the parking spots on the street to have a smoke would be a suitable way to, you know, send the message to City Hall that they can, you know, take their, like, excessive rules, their, like, future of walking on eggshells, and shove it where the sun don't shine. Because, I mean, it's either they deal with the smoking like that, or they get, like, huge traffic problems, right? Because, I mean, people have to have parking in this town.
Right. So anyways, we've got a new ban over here. It's not smoking, it's toboggans. No sledding down the hills. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. What was the reason again? I thought it was because safety, right?
Yeah, well, lawsuits too, I guess. That arise from the safety.
And ice rinks too, as well. You know, you can't have an ice rink in your front yard.
Yeah, that's in Cornwall, Ontario. They've fined somebody for putting an ice rink in their yard, and they've banned tobogganing in Hamilton, Ontario. And I'm also receiving information that they're banning it in Orangeville, Ontario. No more tobogganing for you. It's just absurd. Now, apparently there are, according to the National Post, is reporting freedom sliders defy tobogganing bans in defense of Canadians' right to slide down hills. On a brisk weekend morning, a handful of hardy Canadians gathered atop of Murray's Mountain in Orangeville, Ontario, to defend their right to hurdle face first down an icy slope on a wooden sled. Tobogganing is as Canadian as maple syrup, and it is a thing that pretty much every kid I know who could do it did. So,
hold on. That rule sounds very specific, though. It said toboggan, right? So, I mean, you could take a GT racer down the hill, or a magic carpet, or even ride on a
garbage bag. But if it's made out of wood, I guess it's a no-go.
Well, we checked into the city ordinance here in Hamilton, and it actually went quite expansive beyond toboggans. I mean, technically, you couldn't run a pair of cross-country skis across a flat park in Hamilton. You could fall under this ordinance. Practicing baseball with your baseball team. Say you don't have a scheduled practice. You're like, hey, guys, you know, half the team, let's go over to this park, and we'll just play at this diamond at the city park. Not without the proper permit, you get a $5,000 fine. Falls under the same ordinance. So it's actually, you'd have to look under it, look at this ordinance, but it covers more than just toboggans, way more than toboggans. Basically, it's like you need a special permit to go to the park and do something there, is what they're saying.
And what are parks built for, guys?
Well, it's a giant patch of grass into which the taxpayers pour money into to pay some guy to ride around on a frickin' lawnmower and push a snow plow around and then tell us we can't go in or use it. I say, screw it, sell the park, put them out of a job. I mean, you want to start playing these games. Don't put jobs riding around cutting grass for 3 hours a day, making $300 a day. No more. Screw it, sell the park. We can't use it. We'll just sell it and then fire all the city workers. You want to play this game? We don't need you.
Well, I find it
that's a solution,
very,
but they want to play dirty.
I find it very interesting that, like, here in Victoria, they pretend that the parks are, like, you know, Mother Nature, right? Oh, it's nature. And I went to, like, basically every park in this town, and none of it looks like nature, you know, because it's all very carefully groomed. And there's barely any, like, wild space there. It's fake nature.
Right. It's all manicured and professionally groomed. It does not look like the wild bush. So, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not advocating that we shut down the parks to sell them. I'm just like, you know, enough is enough. The people are just going to snap and say, look, we don't need your park services or your parks. We're sick of paying for a park that we can't use. So if you're going to run around putting signs up, you know, $5,000 fine for looking at a park or, you know, for even saying the word park, we should just ban the word park altogether. I mean, but still have parks and make the taxpayers pay for them. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't make us pay for parks and then the maintenance of them and then tell us we can't use them. And I mean, it's not just tobogganing. It's like one could make the argument about tobogganing, but this bylaw encompasses a wide range of activities that basically states you're going to need a permit, especially if it's organized sports. They're really targeting the organized sports, and it's like, this is ridiculous. The park is paid for, okay?
What if you go out and play golf at a golfing range? Can't you take your toboggan there or your skis and do that at where you play golf?
Aren't those miniature hills though? Small hills at a golf course.
They're not as dangerous, so little kids can have a good time on them.
Well, according to Pardons Canada, a lot of people who haven't had pardons yet enjoy building sand castles in the sand traps.
See, this, if you add it all together, this could be a big conspiracy to keep the people out of the parks, and then they can use the parks for green schemes, you know, like the geothermal or put a few wind turbines, maybe some solar panels. As long as there wasn't people there.
I see Agenda 21 written all over this one.
They need the green spaces, yeah.
Get people out, yeah, to get people out of the country and out of the green spaces and into big cities and live in boxes and stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a phase two. I mean, phase one was, expropriating all this land for sustainable bike trails and all this park property and all this green space, and the amount of expropriation of land is through the roof over the last decade or even further, for this crap. And now you're being regulated off of this crap. So you got a handful of the citizens that said, went along with this. Yeah, we need more parks. Yeah. Now you can't go in the park. Now they're saying you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't cross country ski in the park. You can't do anything in the bloody park without a permit. And that's what we said years ago. That all this green space, you will be eventually banned from that.
So if you have a permit to play in a park, you're not going to hurt anybody? Is that basically what they're saying or what, you know?
No, they're saying you've kneeled and prayed to the new god known as government god. And you paid homage to new government god and gave him some money. And now you can go play. Basically what they're saying. I don't know.
Well, what about if you want to go up to Blue Mountain and ski up there and toboggan? Can't you toboggan on a ski hill?
You can, no, typically no, it's against their rules because they don't want to get sued. It's their hill. You can, but they'll kick you off their property. They may charge you, they could charge you with trespassing. We used to do it. Not at that particular mountain, at another one just north of Barrie.
Or you could just go to Centennial Park and Etobicoke here.
Yeah, that one's a huge hill.
It is, yeah. I've been there.
You get fast. People do the gliders on those.
Yeah, exactly.
In the summer.
I did notice that somebody commented about liability extended to the city, and like, I'll be frank, okay? There is a park here in town, and they do the liability thing in association with like climbing a rock face, and it's kind of like an honor-based system. So you go there, you grab one of the forms, you fill it out and in the mailbox, and basically the form is a waiver. I don't do that. I think it's stupid and pointless because climbing the rock face in that park, you know, it's my own risk. It's my decision to do that. So I don't need to sign a waiver for my decision, my adult decision. To go and do that, really. If I hurt myself, I would blame myself, not the city for providing that space for me to do that.
And unfortunately, that's the part of the problem is too many people have wrecked it for everybody. But and it's not just the people. They go and they're like, well, I went and did this stupid thing on some other private or public property, and I'm going to sue the property owner because I went and did that on their property and hurt myself. And the problem is they sued and won. And then it sets a precedent and now everyone's worried about getting sued. But, I mean, I don't know if this is more of a money grab or them just worried about getting sued, but it's pretty simple. It's a use it own risk sign. There's no fines involved. There's no money grab. So that's what they used to do. Why they can't do it now, I don't know. Seems to me they're out to grab some money. And I'm wondering if we should just get some toboggans, rustle up a bunch of toboggans and go to the hills here in Hamilton and do some freedom sliding as they call it.
Yeah, we can go to Canadian Tire and check what toboggans they got out there.
Yeah, we'll just build one from scratch. We'll go to Home Depot and get some 2x4s and some deck screws and go to town.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah. You know what I think would be a better idea? A remote control toboggan drone. That way nobody gets caught, nobody gets fined, and, you could have something tobogganing down that hill, and they won't be able to give the ticket to anybody.
Yeah, a toboggan drone, that'd be a good one. There's, you got the remote control snowmobiles. That's pretty easy, ready to go on the snow. I've seen them a couple of years ago. That would be pretty easy to just grab and start whizzing up and down the hill.
And you can't smoke while you're tobogganing either. So remember that. New rules.
Well, because that's a double whammy. You're smoking in a city park and tobogganing at the same time. Like they'll put you in a death camp for that. I'm joking here, but I mean, like who cares? Ooh, he's smoking a cigarette in a park. Oh my God. And he's got a toboggan. Call 911. I think he might be a terrorist.
So the natives can't use smoke signals. They'll get fined. They have to have a permit to do that too.
You're gonna have to have vaporizing signals. I don't know. Oh, they're trying to
actually.
That's
actually
soon to be banned in Ontario as well. All electronic cigarettes, vaporizers.
You just pointed out an excellent double standard, because, you know, they banned smoking indoors, right? But I see all these indigenous people go into places with their smudge stick, and, it, like, isn't that smoke? I'm sure that smoke is just as harmful as tobacco smoke. So, I mean, it, there's double standards involved in that whole, like, smoking thing.
Yeah, and they weren't going to ban the vaporizers and electronic cigarettes. They're going to restrict them, so they have to hide them behind a cash register, like a locked box or something.
Yeah, that means they're safe. You know, that's what I don't understand about all these stupid, regulations and that. Just doesn't make any sense. You sell the poison, but yet you're going to restrict it? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, just to bring the listeners up to speed here, where we are in Ontario, Canada, or Kanatistan, you can't show the cigarettes in the store. You go to the corner store to buy a pack of smokes. There, you don't see any smokes. There used to be a smoke rack behind the cashier. Not anymore. You're not allowed to show any cigarettes or have any posters or pictures of any cigarette or cigarette paraphernalia. It's all got to be behind closed cabinet doors so nobody can see in case a miner comes in and, God forbid, they see a pack of smokes on the wall. And it's been like that for, I don't know, 3 years now or something like that, 4 years?
So yeah, the Playboys are, like, not behind a curtain. They're, like, right on the magazine rack, are they not?
The Playboys, I don't know. I think they still are on the magazine rack. I think probably in the top. So, yeah. I'd imagine.
Yeah, they have to be in a sealed plastic bag so you can't look in them.
Oh, okay.
And then that's what the Sun News was saying, that if Charlie Hebdo was sold in Canada, it would require that, because it's so, those cartoons in France are like risque. Well, it'd be X-rated in Canada.
For me, I'm not going to stand in line for several hours freezing my butt off just to get a magazine. I don't care who's on the front. Hey, if it's Justin Bieber, I'm not going to go out there and freeze my butt off just to get a stupid magazine.
Justin Bieber, Canada's number one lip singer.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's been exposed numerous times. He's a lip singer. Most of them are. They're all out there lip singing. It's ridiculous.
Who was the first ones who did that back?
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli. I remember that. And it was, there's a thing that wasn't the norm back then, and they got thrown under the bus. Now apparently it's the norm. Anyone from Celine Dion to Britney Spears or Justin Bieber is out there going from show to show, and all these adoring fans fawning after them. And all they're doing is running around, dancing around the stage, lip singing. It's ridiculous. Like, it's, what the hell? I don't know. That's the entertainment world we live in now.
Well, the reason why that is because a lot of them, when they were singing back in the day, they're getting a lot of throat problems and all this kind of stuff. So they decided might as well cut that out, and you won't have these problems anymore. They'll be out there on the stage all the time.
Well, it's pretty evident by the way a lot of them dance around that there's no way you can dance around like that and do this whole choreography retardedness and sing perfectly at the same time. If you notice, like, a real singer that's singing their guts out is not dancing around. They're standing still, and all their energy is going into singing those notes, not... I mean, I'm sure there might be some that can do it, but the ones that we've caught lip-singing are the ones that dance around and do a big dance show. And that's how they can do it. I mean, you can't have both. So you either get Justin Bieber standing there singing a song, or you get Justin Bieber dancing around like a retard, lip-singing his song, because he can't do both at the same time. So I don't know if all of his songs is actually lip-sunk and auto-tune. Who knows? How bad of a singer is he really?
But, back in the 80s or even the 70s, if you're in a rock band and you had your guitar hooked up to the speaker, you couldn't go very far because you're all hooked up. But nowadays you can go all over the stage and everywhere. Now it's all, basically wireless.
Air guitar.
Yeah. I like that.
And also, even back in the days of the American Bandstand with Dick Clark, most of those shows on there were not live. They were the singers were lip syncing instead of bringing the whole band in or something like that and paying all this extra money. So I think it was cheaper actually to have the player recording and have them lip sync. So I think that's one of the main reasons back then.
Well, I guess we're in the wrong business, guys. We should have been professional lip singers. Could have made millions of dollars.
Well, there's a huge psyop too. Probably have to sell your soul for rock and roll and got to do some, mix in some Illuminati symbolism. Once you get on Vigilant Citizen, you know you've made it as a pop star.
Vigilant Citizen.
Yeah.
Is it a YouTuber?
No, he is the guy that does, it's like VigilantCitizen.com. He's got a section with all the sinister sites. He's got, then he does symbolic pictures of the week, of the month, and he just does a lot of the pop stars exposed. He doesn't do it in video form though, mostly articles. Right. But the, if just watch They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, you can get, you can see what's going on. And then it'll make you question, I guess, all the mainstream music.
Hey, guys, do you remember when Target came to Canada? When it was? Was it a year ago or maybe 2 years ago?
Probably about 2 years ago.
Okay, so...
I remember saying that they wouldn't last very long.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. They weren't, you know, I didn't see the appeal there. I went into one of their stores and I'm like, there's nothing here that I would want. So anyways, apparently Target Canada is closing its stores. So we were right. So maybe that might give enough leg room for Sears to hang on another year. I don't know. I think it's iffy.
Or they can bring back Zellers.
Sears Canada's not doing good. So.
Well, they're in competition with Walmart or Slave Mart, which what you want to call it. So no wonder they couldn't do anything. I've go through there all the time, but I've bought a couple of things in Target. That's about it. Other than that, I see people walking through it as just another way to get through the mall. You get the odd person going in there and going looking through the. All the clothes and everything else that they got there, but you can get that at Walmart anyway. Right? So, what can you do?
Yeah, I know, Target's very, very popular with the young people in the States. A lot of the YouTubers, talk about going to Target and buying some different things and then showing some videos. So it is very, very popular over there. I don't know how it's gonna survive over there with the, economy getting better, they say. So. How that will work out.
Well, I'll tell you how it's going to survive over there. Target has good prices in their United States chains, but here in Canada, they just their prices suck. There's better options out there, right?
Yeah, the prices are nothing special, and the selection is really low. It's like there's nothing in there I needed, and there's nothing I really wanted when I walked through the store. There's nothing I wanted, and there's nothing I needed. Nothing I needed that they even had. So. I don't know.
Well, for me, I bought a like a record player in Target so I could play my records. Now I got a big record collection now, 119, 120 records now. So that was okay.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to download illegal records? Play them.
Well, they do have ones that you get to put to MP4 or MP3. You can do that.
Oh, right. You can play your record and record it. No, I know that, but. Yeah. With an MP3, you can snag free music. With a record player, you're kind of stuck going to get vinyl. But it does have a better sound. You know, you don't get the same sound out of the digitized audio as you do out of vinyl.
But then now their vinyl is coming back, and now the vinyl is actually better quality. It's now they're having, they have 180 gram records now, which they didn't before. So HMV, you can actually buy a record player in there, and you can buy records as well over there. They have a bigger selection now. So what's old is new again. So I enjoy it. What I do is I just plug mine into my stereo system in the living room, and it's perfect. Love it. You can play 33s, you can play 45s, and 78s, all in the same needle. But back in the day, in the 60s, whatever, you couldn't do that. You had to have... So,
hello.
Hey
folks, sorry about that. We, our audio kind of got messed up there and we had to reconnect.
Yeah, so what I was saying. Yeah, so what I was saying, before the cut off there. Okay, we're back on. Sorry about that, folks. We just, our bandwidth is just maxing out here, it seems. So, yeah.
They made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably?
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine. Has a 100-year shelf life and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Whitgate, Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing and put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders, bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit? Because if we torture him, General, we do that, and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Welcome back to Angry Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Sorry about this, listeners. We seem to be having quite technical difficulties over here. I'm not sure if it's a bandwidth issue or what, but it just starts to glitch out on us. We're not sure what's going on. We've tried reconnecting. What can we say? I mean, we've got the internet equivalent of North Korea probably up here in Canada, and they charge us an arm and a leg for it. So pay over $1 a gigabyte and you'd have faster internet speed if you sent everything by carrier pigeon. You know.
Yeah, just like back in the 70s when the Russia was against Canada in the 72 summit series, found that the audio and video were better here in the West, and then when you got to Russia, they had a lot of technical problems. So basically, we had a better system over here. That's what I found.
Or yeah, but they could also be Russian doing some interference to make Russia look worse or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Lower technology.
Yeah, lower, yeah.
But if they had won the space race, then, you know, there's a technological war probably, I guess, between, cause they, split, the USA and Russia split the, scientists in the Project Paperclip, right? All the
Paperclip, yes, exactly.
Third Reich's.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Scientists.
And like in China, when they did their TV programs, they did it live in the sets. But when they went outside, it was all videotaped. So it was a little bit different. So you could tell the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, when you see it program on the Chinese programs, you see it's all the same way around, outside and inside. It's all basically done live, right? But not back in the day. Everything had to be done differently because the technology wasn't as good back then.
Yeah, China was caught staging a lip syncing event at the Olympics. Remember that? I remember that. Beijing Olympics.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even their musical performances that they do is all lip syncing anyway.
Huh.
Right. Oh yeah, you can tell. Even in their news programs, the lips don't come together with the audio part of it. Even today, it's the same thing. When they're doing a broadcast, let's say news from China or Hong Kong, you're listening to the voice and the lips are not connecting properly.
Well, the government doesn't lip sync anyway. They their lips don't come together very often. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, they read off of teleprompters, which is almost like lip syncing, but they might as well be. You know, that'd be funny if we found out they were lip syncing what they said off the teleprompter. It was pre-recorded, and they were just standing in front of the podium, lip syncing off the teleprompter. That would be.
Well, I've seen Obama, like when he's reading off the teleprompter, and all of a sudden it malfunctions, and he's standing there, duh, like, Oh, it's been a long day. You know, like, come on, give me a break. Doesn't know what to say.
Since we got Ryan on, I was going to see if he had an opinion on this. What was it? It was a recent pipeline or stop the pipeline or stop the tar sands. I don't know what it was. Protest out west with David Suzuki show up with his grandson. And he's my grandson was arrested.
Oh, that was the Burnaby Mountain protest. And if you like paid attention to how the protesters were engaging with the police, they were provoking them. And they weren't engaging in a peaceful protest. When people are throwing things at the police officers and like beating them off the head. The cops, I'll give them credit. They kept their cool. If they assault the police, that's assault. They need to get arrested, right? If they're breaking the line, that's assault too. Don't touch other people. It's that simple. I mean, they're allowed to be there, but I mean, when an injunction is granted by a court, they're not allowed to, use their bodies as, a means to, direct action. The direct action basically equates to criminal action, in my opinion.
Right. So I wasn't aware of that, these people were throwing rocks or throwing things at the police officers.
There's video of it. I was looking at the video and it's like, okay, well, you know, it would be different if they were peaceful, but I mean, these mobs that are fomented by the NGOs and initially they, you know, declined involvement of the NGOs, and then afterwards it came out, right? And there was even signs there, you know, get out of your NGOs, because some people, you know, they were for the cause but they weren't for the NGOs being involved,
right? Because you've got the Rockefellers and you've got George Soros and the gang all involved in this up to their eyeballs in it, and it's like, you environmentalist activists, do you not know that you're being led by other oil tycoons around to go after their competition? That's all that we're seeing here. And now we're seeing, it's come out recently that Soros, as we said, was at his, up to his eyeballs in funding the Ferguson staged protests and riots over there in Ferguson, trying to invoke a civil war in the United States between the police and the civilians. Like, how is George Soros not under arrest? Why are any of George Soros's foundations or NGOs still allowed to operate in Canada or America? Why is George Soros even allowed to set foot on our soil without being arrested? I mean, it's blatant. It's black and white. It's being done right out in broad daylight. Any police officer can look up this information and realize that what this guy is up to. He's doing the same thing in the Ukraine. Not only that, our tax money is going to help foment revolutions in Ukraine. I mean, and Soros is just a mid-level minion in the grand scheme of things. He's not like, you know, the man behind the curtain, but he's just he's one of the major players. But I don't know. Instead, we got Prime Minister Stephen Harper and Justin Trudeau, you know, taking turns on their knees in the back room with Soros.
Well, see here, I was kind of pleased with how they were doing charity audits, but, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, whatever happened to those charity audits? I thought West Coast Environmental Law was getting audited.
That was shut up. That's all I can say about that, because you and everybody else in the alternative media and some in the right-wing media were starting to say stuff about it, and then you had the federal government say, okay, we're going to crack down on this crap, and nothing happened. George Soros is still trying to fund color revolutions in Canada and fomenting terrorism, eco-terrorists, like advocating that they blow up, sabotage and blow up helicopters and blow up pipelines. You know, like, what the hell? Think of it, people. If you cut off all the oil, I mean, how do you going to heat your house in Canada? Go a few days with no heat, all your pipes are going to freeze up and start bursting. Now you got no water or heat.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, the people that are behind Agenda 21, there's a faction known as the anarcho-primitivists, and if you follow their ideology as far as it goes, it basically equates to genocide. If you take away people's power supply,
and they no longer have power to heat their house, if you take away people's space to grow food and then make them reliant on a grocery store and that grocery store gets cut off because the power's cut off, well, what are you really doing to people? You're just building them a concrete prison to move into and telling them to depend on you and setting up a situation where the end result is genocide.
Well, I hate to say I agree with you, but that's the way it looks. It's definitely not good.
And the worst part about it is it seems as though the state, the crown, whoever it is, the queen, the will of the state, the will of the queen, is to go along with this, even though they shouldn't be going along with this, because what business do a bunch of Democrat foreigners from the United States have coming to our country and protesting? They can stay in their country and protest. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just ironic. They give David Suzuki, what, Canadian of the Year award or some crap like that, and for what? For brainwashing Canadians that... You know, in order to be sustainable, we're going to have to freeze to death this winter and have no heat. You know, because what form of heat is sustainable? None of them are. Not wood, power, not coal, under none of it is. So, you know, I guess we're all of Canada is supposed to freeze to death in their houses. No heat, no water, because all the pipes will freeze and burst, you know.
Then you're smart.
You get your house with a win.
Yeah, I think what we should do is you mentioned an award for David Suzuki. Maybe we should come up with our own awards and give him a level 3 maggot award.
Level 3 star maggot award? Level 3? Go for, give him 5 maggots up. Since he compared the human race to maggots.
The prize could be a well-dressed female security detail.
Well, like, David Suzuki has standing to call humans maggots, seeing as he's a lamprey eel himself. He's not a human, so he's not even talking from a human perspective. He's a lamprey eel. And he's like, yeah, those dirty humans. So, I mean, how could we criticize him? I don't know.
Just well, a bunch of beavers.
Yeah, and if you're gonna,
Japanese guy plays the token Native activists in Canada. You couldn't even find a Native guy to play the propaganda role. You got to find a guy that looks sort of Native, but he's Japanese. I mean, come on.
Well, if you're going to, I'm thinking if you're going to cut off people's heat and hydro and everything else, and why do you need a smart meter on your house?
Just in case you figured out a way to make electricity. I don't know.
Like,
no, but you make a good point. Like, what's, you want to cut it all off eventually anyway. Why?
Exactly.
Why don't just cut to the chase?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because while you're cutting it off, maybe you want to choke out certain people first, right? So
yeah.
Smart meters gives you the ability to target individuals that aren't desirable to the state.
So for a smart meter, it's a stupid idea, I think.
Well, I think it's a gradual thing. Like, it's gradually going to become more and more money. Like, same with water prices. Why do you think they want to put a smart water meter on? Like, there's no logical reason other than the prices are going to go up and they're going to need to meter, you know, every little last milliliter. Right down to the milliliter and bill you for it. I mean, it might sound ridiculous seeing as we're, you know, live around the Great Lakes here. But, that's the only reason I can see. They put a smart water meter on. The price of your city tap water is going to go through the roof. So.
They got to pay for the fluoride. They're working on a mandatory fluoride.
Yeah, that's right. Daniel's got that article over on his website. Was it Reasoning Conspiracy?
Yeah. And then Canadian Awareness has a bunch of them too. They found this guy because this guy's in Mississauga. He's a MPP, but he's also the chief government whip, I found out. So. He's got an important position of the Liberals because they got a majority government. And if he's calling for mandatory fluoride, then he's got a prime position in the party.
Yeah, but Daniel, I talked to one of the guys who works for the city, and he told me that they're not taking – Mississauga's not taking the fluoride out of the water, but they're cutting back on a lot of other things too with the water.
One of the Hamilton NDP party members was talking about how, you know, we need to put fluoride in the water because some people can't afford toothpaste and on about oral health, blah, blah, blah. We need to drink rat poison because nobody can't afford toothpaste. Does it say to swallow the toothpaste, ma'am? No, it says not to. It says to contact poison control if you swallow it. So why would you want to spike the water with what's known in toothpaste that you cannot swallow and put in the water for you to swallow? Well, some people can't afford toothpaste. Does that mean they should swallow toothpaste? Because they can't afford
it. I have an idea. If it's the state's position to be concerned about people's teeth, then they can include dentistry.
Exactly.
And with their socialized medicine.
Yeah, socialized medicine.
You know, and that's the obvious answer, right?
Yeah, no, that's the obvious answer. I mean, look at our socialized medicine here. Eyes aren't covered and teeth aren't covered. And you got, like, in Quebec, people just rip their teeth out right away. Like, when they're in their 20s and 30s, they just start getting all their teeth ripped out so they have no more problems with them because they can't afford it. You know, oral health in Canada is very poor because there is no dental coverage. Unless it's through your work, and it's very, very expensive. So, and if you go pay cash, it's a lot of money. Now, the eyes used to be covered in terms of an eye exam, but now your eyes, the only thing that's covered is going to a doctor and getting a prescription for some narcotics, some pharmaceutical pills. That's what's covered under Canada's healthcare. If you got eye problems, you have to pay, what is it, 60, 75 bucks for an eye exam now? How long does an eye exam take? 10 minutes?
Yeah, if that, yeah, 10 minutes.
I could train a monkey and pay the monkey in bananas to run the eye exam machine. Why are they charging us like thousands of dollars an hour for eye exams and tell us that that's your socialized medicine? Charge you thousands of, after we already charged you for for all your health care, now on top of it, we're going to charge you thousands of dollars an hour for eye exams.
Well, because
a monkey could run.
The way I see it, they want to cast an illusion of actually offering medical care while offering you like absolutely nothing except a burden paying taxes to cover a bunch of useless overpriced services.
Well, they're basically just offering us the chance to go to the doctor and get a prescription for something that they didn't even diagnose. You know, that most of the time the doctor doesn't even diagnose your problem. They just say, well, oh, try this. And you're like, well, what do I have? Well, I don't know. It could be this or it could be that, but I don't know. Try this pill. And it's like, really? And that's doctors in Canada. It's sad.
But then if you take that pill, what happens to you if you get a reaction from that pill you're taking?
Oh, I don't know. Try this pill. I mean,
try these three pills.
Yeah, try these three pills.
Oh, careful. Let me know if you pee blood though.
Yeah, if you pee blood, stop taking those pills and come back. I'll give you some other pills.
And we'll give you the shot too while you're at it. You might come down with some.
Did you get your flu vaccine this year? Yeah? Okay. How about you want another one? I mean.
Have it like in pill form.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I know with the vaccines, I'm in a vaccine group on Facebook and someone had posted that in Michigan, the vaccine waivers cannot be signed until the parents attend an education seminar on how good the vaccines are. That's absolutely crazy, you know?
Now, who's requiring that the teachers attend this seminar? Is it like the government or the school board? Or I'm just wondering who's saying, oh, well, you have to, before you can sign this, you got to take this brainwashing seminar and this indoctrination seminar.
No, I believe it's for the parents of the students.
It's for the parents of the students, but who's requesting that they take the seminar? Is it the school board or is it the government?
Well, they're both the same, right? You know, the government tells the school system what to do and they have to carry it out.
Yeah, but I mean, the school board doesn't have any jurisdiction to tell grown adults that what to do. You know what I mean? I know they're a government agency, but they have no authority over grown adults who don't even attend school. So,
well, they're pressured, and
because it's just sports. The
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, we're back on. Sorry, our audio got all glitched out there. So,
before we got cut off there, I was going to say, a lady that I helped, I gave her a waiver form for the vaccines, and at first she had to wait for her doctor or the lawyer to, you know, get off holidays, and he finally came back and he notarized the waiver form. And that was really great news, and I've got I'm glad I made some more up, and I got requests for probably a few more. So we're getting the word out there, and we're getting them notarized now. So you can take them back to the school, they can put them in their file, and when anything does come up with this, they can get exempt from whatever vaccines are available that they do not want their child to be drugged up with. So it's a good thing to have. I think it's vran.org.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm sure if there were a movement and it started to really catch on, that they would probably just start adding it to like Lucky Charms or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, mm-hmm. You have vaccine in the pill form. You just throw them in and just call them.
Throw them in the marshmallows. The kids eat them all anyway. So there you go.
Yeah, there you are. And people are gullible. They'll eat it. No problem.
Yeah, and if in case there's the few that don't, they can use the flying syringes. They've got that experiment. It's like a mosquito form.
Vaccine drone. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're literally developing vaccine drones, miniature drones that can vaccinate people against their will. So there's no escaping Bill Gates and his army of vaccine drones, because he's going to cure you from polio by giving you polio and leaving you paralyzed like the 60,000+ paralyzed children across India. Thank you, Bill and Melinda Gates. Scum. Anyways, sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
They didn't even get rid of polio, though. That's the thing. I mean, they said, even the UN said, oh, we eradicated polio, and then lo and behold, it comes back.
Well, you got to go back to the inventor of the polio vaccine, Jonas Salk. He's the one that invented it. And he had, at the time, had to admit with other scientists at a subcommittee that from 1961 onward, polio was due to the vaccine. That's why you haven't gotten rid of it. So you gotta look at these things, and you know, I'm always an advocate of giving out this information to give people the choice. That's when the government steps in and the pharmaceuticals, you don't have any choice. But I'm giving people choices to make that they can actually look at what's here on this piece of paper and make their own choices whether they want to get it or not. And I let them know that if you do decide it, that you're taking a risk, just remember that. So here's the information for you that you can actually make the decision for your own family. And that way they don't have to be, oh, I better get it or else I'm going to get in trouble. So they have this other option where I come in and I'll give them a piece of paper and give them a flyer and everything else. So they have that few minutes to make that choice.
Well, they're trying to make the argument that those who are unvaccinated are going to get all us vaccinated people sick. And you have to get vaccinated or else I'll get sick. But if vaccines work, then how would that be the case? Well, for one, they don't work, okay? They're not effective. They've never been proven effective. Recent studies show that the new flu vaccine is 25% effective. Placebos are more than 25% effective. A sugar pill is more than 25%, and that shows it that there's no, it doesn't do anything. That's all it proves.
You know what works better than a vaccine?
What's that?
Actually getting sick and actually having your immune system deal with it naturally. And the minute that you start feeling symptoms, take echinacea. That's more than 25% effective.
Yeah, maybe.
And just eating properly and eating the right fruits and vegetables. I haven't had the flu in, let's say, well, 18 years. And people are thinking, that's amazing. Are you sure you're not, human? I said, no, I just eat properly and do the right things, and that's it. So I haven't had the flu in about 18 years. Of any kind. Nothing. Doesn't mean I'm any different than I was back then, but back then I didn't make the choices that I wanted to make in eating and eating healthy and stuff like that. But now I do have that choice to what I want to do, and my body immune system is up, you know, so I'm happy with that, and I think everybody else will be too if they follow the right regime, and and eat properly and eat fruits and vegetables, fruits and vegetables, not in your grocery store because you don't know where that comes from. You don't know if any produce you have is a month old or 2 months old. You don't know. But if you get it from the farmer's market in the summertime, you're getting it from them to you with no middleman involved. So people have to make the right choices. Don't let the government make the choices for you. Doesn't matter if it's vaccines or foods or whatever, you know. A lot of these grocery stores are government regulated. That's the problem.
Do you guys know anybody who has actually looked into the ingredients of many of these vaccines that are pushed upon us and decided, yes, I think I'll go get some of that? Because I don't. And if we're coming up to break, guys, you can answer that when we come back to listen to Angry Fever Radio on truthfrequencyradio.com. Watch
the
band.
The shot is the pandemic.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Before we left for the break, I was talking about vaccines, and if anybody on the panel here knows anybody who actually seriously looked into vaccines and the ingredients and the side effects of things that we've looked into here and discussed here and actually come away from it going, you know, yeah, I'm going to go get my shot right now, because I've never met anyone that has. Most of the people I've met have the exact same reaction, that no way in hell am I taking that. Now, one commonality I find between the anti-vaccine crowd, talking to many of them, is that most of them don't have a clue what the vaccine ingredient list is. They don't even know what's in it. And they don't want to know. They adamantly don't want to know. The doctor says, I got to take this. Are you a doctor? I'm like, no, this isn't about a doctor. This is about what's in this stuff. And they don't seem to want to know. But anyways, guys, if you've met anyone, anyone who's researched vaccines and decided, yes, I'm going to go throw caution to the wind and take a mercury cocktail.
Well, for me, a lot of people, they don't want to take it, but they seem like they're forced into taking it, whether there's bad ingredients in it or not. They say, well, I better get it. You know, I got to make that choice. You know, I got to get it, but we'll see how it goes. And, you know, but that's about it. You know, other than that, they don't check into it. They have no clue what's in it. They just believe whatever their doctor and the government says. So, you know, so that's why I'm out there, leaving flyers on the buses or anywhere and giving it to people. And just telling them, hey, look, you can take the shot, but then remember that the manufacturers of these vaccines they have legal immunity. You cannot sue them if anything does happen to you. Just remember that. If it kills you or something like that, you become paralyzed. That you're on your own, buddy. You're on your own.
Why, if it's so safe and effective and good for us, why would these manufacturers need legal immunity from the government? It's ridiculous. It's the same thing with the Wi-Fi and the cell phone towers and the big controversy on whether it's good or bad for your health. Well, look at a soccer ball or a basketball or any type of sporting good. Does it come with a book that warns, that leaves them all types of legal loopholes in case you get cancer from their product? So that you can't sue them? No, you don't get a book the size of a novel with your basketball or your soccer ball or your baseball bat when you go to the sporting goods department, because there's no concern of you getting cancer from that. And there never really has been. So, but with the cell phones, why do you get a basic novel with your devices? Basically leaving all these loopholes so that you can't come back and sue them when you got a tumor the size of a grapefruit coming out of your head. But oh no, they're safe. That's why you got a phone book with full of warnings on it. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah, I agree. But even in when you buy a cell phone, it, you get the little booklet that comes with it, telling you about the safety and the all the regulations and all that kind of stuff.
It tells you not to touch it. Everything's a touch screen, and they all say don't touch it. Don't go close enough to even be able to physically touch the damn thing. How is that safe?
Yeah, exactly.
Safe as long as you stay 20 feet away from the damn thing. I mean, what? But it's got a touch screen. I don't know. It's ridiculous. So I'm not saying they are dangerous. I'm just saying, hey, if they were as safe as they claim they were, you wouldn't need a telephone book of warnings with it. You don't get that with any other product.
It's like with a basketball, you know, like may explode if you misuse the basketball. So you have to use the basketball or play with the basketball under normal conditions.
Overinflate. Yeah, it's got a warning for overinflation, I believe that warning's for. Yeah, but that doesn't come with a booklet just in case somebody tries to pin cancer on us. Because the notion's absurd. But obviously the notion isn't absurd with cell phones, and that's why they gotta give you a telephone book of warnings with it. So I don't know.
And it states in the little booklet, excuse me, that it doesn't admit the harmful radiation, saying that it hasn't been enough studies to figure out whether radiation is bad for you or not.
There hasn't been enough studies, but just stay 10 feet away from it at all times.
That's why they build tablets.
Use this earphone piece and keep the thing away from you, 10 feet away from you, and don't hold on to it or touch it, even though it's a bloody touch screen.
But doesn't when you hook it up and you put the Bluetooth on your ear, isn't that bringing it right directly to your head, your brain? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Bluetooth's a whole different kind of radiation, I think.
Yeah. Different signal. I'm not sure the frequency that Bluetooth operates on. I'm not sure. That's a whole – but, you know, it may be similar. It may not be.
But then on the other side of the coin, I heard that using Bluetooth or something like that with your cable – is a little bit more safer than having the phone directly up to your head.
So I think the wired headset is the safer way because you're not beaming it wirelessly. You know, I think you got a point. You're just creating another signal to beam in through your skull. So if you have a wired connection, at least it's not beaming it through you. It's just going up the wire into your ear, the sound.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not saying it is dangerous or it isn't dangerous, but to me, if it wasn't, if there was no bloody chance, then there would be no need for the warning books.
Because you have a force field around your body. Like if it's too cold, your force field will be a lot, will shrink because it's too cold. And same with this here. When you have the phone up to your body, you're actually compressing that force field and making it shrink. So the radiation becomes a little bit more worse when you put the headset or your phone up to your head, right?
So what you could do is use speakerphone and then just put the speakerphone in the other corner of the room, opposite corner, and just yell across the room.
Yeah, you gotta use the voice search settings for the Google and then have your tablet on the other side of the room, 15, 20 feet away and do everything, you know, from the other side of the room that don't go near the tablet. Then it's safe. Cause according to, as long as you don't touch it, it's safe. It's not, it won't give you tumors or nothing. There's no, as long as you stay 10 feet away from it, don't touch it. Keep it away from your body. Like it's ridiculous. Like who, and let's mandate that all the children at school have to have these things. With Wi-Fi.
And don't they already?
Well, that's what a lot of schools are mandating now, that all the school kids have these things. And it's like, hey, teachers, wake up, idiots. These things are going to replace you. I could hire 10 of the best teachers in the country to teach every kid in the country.
From home. They all sound like Siri.
From home. You know what I mean? Like they wouldn't even, the teachers wouldn't have to go to work. You'd hire 10 or 12 teachers, 12 teachers, one for each grade, right? You get the 12 best teachers in the country and you simulcast that teaching plan out to the whole country and no more school. So I mean, you idiot teachers who are radiating our children at school with the Wi-Fi and all this. You gotta have a tablet and microwave your child's heads and genitals so they can't have kids. I mean, you're sinking your own ship because these tablets are going to replace you. And it's just a matter of time before the public clues in. Hey, we could just hire, you know, a dozen or two of the best teachers in the country or the best teachers in the planet and say, you guys are our teachers now. These are the rest of these bums. We don't need them and we don't need the buildings. And I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying that, you know, you might want to be careful what you're mandating on children. I don't think it's fair that you mandate that somebody has a device that comes with a phone book worth of warnings that, hey, it might do this and might do this. And if this happens, hey, we warned you, keep it 10 feet away from you. Don't put it near your head, but it's safe. School says you got to have one. So don't worry. This radiation device will replace your teacher soon and their pension.
Yeah, it'd be scary if the teacher sounded like HAL 9000 from the 2001 A Space Odyssey. That's the teacher of the future.
Actually, I think I think it would be really nice if they did that, because all we're doing with the teachers presently is paying them, you know, more year after year after year to teach the same stuff, and half of it, at least half of it, if not almost all of it, is stuff that could be learned online and in less time as well. The kids would waste less time so that they could have more time playing with their peers and socializing in a more natural setting than, you know, a school where there's always somebody standing over you and where the cops can, you know, bust your child and, you know, take them away to CPS or the Children's Aid for, like, the silliest of things. Like, over in Washington, actually, two kids, a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, were walking through the park. Well, that's a no-no because they're not being supervised and they can't, you know, walk through the park. You know, anymore.
Right. Yeah, to me, that's ridiculous. We, like, when we were kids, we walked through the parks, went over to another park over there, which is all mostly bush, and we played army, and we did a lot of things together when we weren't around the house. We were able to walk all over the place and not get in trouble. You didn't see cops coming around and saying, what are you doing here? All this kind of stuff. We're having lots of fun in those days.
Yeah, playing army. Nowadays you can't even draw playing army.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I saw a picture of a character with a gun, and next thing you know, the cops are there to arrest your dad at school.
Oh, we used to use like broken, my father used
to make the gesture of a gun.
Yeah. My father used to build us a rifle out of a piece of wood.
If you make a finger gun, oh my God, it's going to hurt.
Get arrested for that.
Yeah, finger guns are all banned. We need an all-out ban on finger guns. We need door-to-door confiscation.
How can you confiscate a finger gun?
I don't know. It's got to be some way.
Cut your hand off?
I guess so.
Make it mandatory for everybody to use Chinese finger traps.
Yeah, and you gotta watch how you eat your Pop-Tarts. Like, if you bite the corner out, it could be in the shape of a gun at that point, and you could be arrested for having a Pop-Tart gun.
You could swallow it, and then they'd have to wait until you have to poop it out to get it. So, it's ridiculous, really.
Well, and Canada's not really this big gun culture, you know, so I mean, this hypersensitivity that we even see here is ridiculous. It's like, you know, we're not like a bunch of gun nuts or something. We're just fine. This is nanny state retarded level. You know, you can't play cowboys and Indians. I mean, come on. Well, I guess I can't even say that now. Cowboys. Oh, that's racist.
Oh yeah, that's racist, man.
Politically correct nonsense. Political correctness is just a cover for silencing the freedom of speech.
Silence of the lambs.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you changed it to cow people and indigenous, it might be more PC. Maybe.
Indigenous and cow people. Yeah, cow people, because there's cowgirls and cowboys. And yeah. There's the transgendered cow things. Oh, God.
What happened to the old days?
The old days where you could marry your horse in 22 different states? Oh, those days are still here.
I love the old programs of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and the, you know, all these other cowboys, the Lone Ranger. Oh, those were the good old days. When your horse was your best friend, as well as your dog. Can't have that anymore. Those days are gone.
Well, you live in the good old USS of A, where you can marry your horse, but you could be facing 20 years in Texas if you got caught with some pot brownies. But go ahead and make out with your horse in the back. We'll marry up, no problem.
Just don't get too attached, because they got a few whoppers to make.
They got whoppers to make. I don't even know where it came. Who even made that law? Like, why would that even come on the books? You know, like, gay marriage, you kind of understand, because you're like, okay, two people, you know, whatever. But the horse marriage, I mean, come on. I'm assuming it's a very old law, but I don't know. Maybe it's an Amish law.
It could be just an old tax write-off. It's an old tax scheme.
It's a Scottish law. Marrying your horse? I don't know.
Yeah, so I went to Toronto last weekend on Sunday to the rally at City Hall. And I was listening to a couple of the speakers there. I was there like for the last hour, I guess. I wasn't there for the whole thing, but I was kind of looking around for any of the guys that were there. Couldn't see anybody that I knew. So I was just listening to what John Tory had to say, and he's regurgitating a lot of things that everybody else is saying about terrorism, and we got to stop terrorism, but I guess stop terrorism by using terrorism, I guess.
He was there doing a speech, the mayor of Toronto?
Yes, he was there doing his speech and like promoting peace and all this kind of stuff and not terrorism and paying respects to the people that were killed that day. So,
and it's like a lot of Just Sweet Charlie signs.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mentioned to talk to one guy. Everybody else was French, right? I talked to one guy who's standing close to me, and I was talking to him about this kind of thing. And I said, people that are standing right here don't know what they're really talking or protesting about. They don't really know what was going on, whether it was a false flag or not or whatever. You know, I'm just saying these people, to this guy, don't know what they're doing here, really.
Well, according to the officials, these terrorists that attacked in France were connected to the Christmas Day underwear bomber, who is a admitted patsy, open patsy, led onto the airplane. So they openly admit, they come out of the gate stating that he's connected to a known patsy that the FBI ran. So what does
sharp
that tell
you? Man.
I mean, like, I don't even got to look into it. Is this a false flag? Well, apparently he's connected to the other guy who was definitely a false flag.
And he dropped his passport on the ground.
How stupid is the New World Order? Like, are they really this retarded? Or are they doing this on purpose? They're just throwing it in our face. Oh, by the way, in case you were going to look into it, it's a false flag. Don't even bother looking into it. It's connected to the underwear bomber that Kurt Haskell fully exposed as being a complete staged hoax. The guy was led onto the damn plane by the FBI. So by default, by the mainstream media coming out of the gate saying that this France attack, these terrorists were connected to Al-Awlaki and the underwear bombing, just tells you, okay, false flag. You don't even got to dig far. They just came out and just held up a big neon sign that said false flag here, and then they did the attack. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you just got to listen to their buzzwords, like Lindsay Williams said. The buzzwords like terrorism or Muslim, something like that. Then you know right away. I knew right away it was a false flag. Just when they, you know, demonizing Muslims again. Muslims may have done it, but they were associated or used by the FBI. They're used by them. So, you know, they're, you know,
ISIS, like patsies. Run by NATO, by the West. ISIS is, Al-Qaeda is run by the CIA. That's why everyone calls them Al-CIA-da. Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA in the 1980s. I mean, it's so
exactly
open, and just people are just want to believe the mainstream media and do no research. But hey.
Well, I talked to my boss yesterday or during the week, and I said, what are your thoughts on what happened in Paris? And he believes that Syria was behind it. So what are your thoughts?
Syria?
Yeah.
No, well, they're the rebel groups within Syria, so there is some truth to that, I guess.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the rebel groups that we've armed and funded, known as ISIS, to attack Syria and Assad, that's what people don't realize. We fund ISIS, the West.
But they were saying these guys were trained in Yemen, too, which I think is near Syria.
Yeah, that's right. Yemen is right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one of the guys that was apparently he had held hostages in a kosher deli, and they have a picture of him in the paper. He had met with Nicolas Sarkozy a few years ago, the president of France. It's like this guy, he's at least known in that sense. They made him like their build up character before he did this.
So
What I find stupid about this whole thing is that CTV reported, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, that this whole, like, hostage situation that they had in France with the guy that shot the cartoonist and the 12 other people, they're trying to say it's now this big anti-Semitic thing because he went to this kosher deli, held 12 Jewish people hostage, and then killed, like, half of them and let the other ones go.
Yeah, I don't see how that makes it anti-Semitic because he'd think he'd just kill them all. I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. But yeah, when it comes to this, that's my only stick in the mud is that the mainstream media immediately tied it to the underwear bomber, which is completely false flag. So I mean,
it's a case of bad hygiene. That one was ruled a case of bad hygiene saved the day.
Bad hygiene saves the
case. They came out of the whole like underwear thing with some explanation that the bomber didn't go off because he had wore the underwear for over a week, and they had gotten wet or something, and he it was like mold had started growing on it or something, and it bombed.
Oh, it's a crappy mold. Like he had been wearing it for a week, and what, just sat there crapping himself in the dirty bomb underwear. I don't,
well, who knows? That's the scary part, because if they have a mind control aspect to this, then it might make a bit more sense how all these are Western-backed Al-Qaeda, sort of.
Well, I mean, they don't even have to put a device down there, or they could just stick a Roman candle down his underwear and lead him onto the plane. I mean, they could have had a real device. I don't know the ins and outs, but he was clearly led on the plane.
And something started smoking too, because they had to like evacuate the plane. Like something did catch fire too, the guy sitting there, but.
Right.
From what I heard is that this device was not supposed to blow up. It was supposed to give you the illusion that it was a bomb, but it was not. So that's what I heard.
It's like,
yeah, that's probably a more likely scenario, but that's not the official line, but.
Yeah.
They didn't even let Kirk Haskell tell his story, I think, in court. Or if they did, it was like in private, you know, some kind of private hearing.
It's like, you know, the snakes that you get in the fireworks packets, the little black pucks, you light it up and then it forms into a snake. You ever seen those? Came with the burning schoolhouse and that.
Right. It, yeah. Remember that.
That's probably what it looked like. I mean, I don't know. It's obviously a bomb did not go off on the Christmas Day underwear bomber. It had been completely exposed over and over again as being a false flag, and the mainstream media came out of the gate connecting it to a blatant false flag attack. So whether that just leads you to, you know, to be skeptical right off the bat. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. They're already calling for stiffer internet security over this nonsense. Same with the North Korea hack job. I mean, like, how does North Korea hack somebody? They got a MiG-15 and they crash it into a phone booth. I mean, that's their hacking into the smart grid idea. I don't know. It's beyond me.
Well, it is going to be an attack on free speech. They've shown that. And, you know, if you can insult people, it's to your own risk, because even the Pope is calling for punching people out. Says a punch awaits if you insult his mother, so.
Yeah, the Pope's up there. He's gonna punch you out if you insult his mother.
Yeah, that, and then he just started saying, he's like, violence is normal. Violence is normal. People will react violently. I think he did say we must not do violence, but then he starts saying it's a normal reaction. If you feel insulted by, you know, a cartoon or a Yo Mama.
Right, and I think he had some recent comments on the, global warming summit or whatever it was, climate change nonsense.
Oh yeah. But they got him on that one because, they hit him with a hurricane when he was overseas. He was in, Philippines or something, I think.
Yeah, but then he could just say, well, see, it's more extreme weather from the global warming. So it appears the Pope is now praying to our new god, Al Gore, aka Man Bear Pig. And, apparently that's the new god. It's no longer God or Mary or Joseph. It's Man Bear Pig is now the head of the Catholic Church, apparently. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, anything to get the security off the street, because the Pope did this big tour, I guess, over there, and they had this massive security thing locked down the streets, and they had the security in diapers even, weren't allowed to leave their posts.
Oh, nice. So you got grown adults running around in diapers.
Just for the Pope.
Oh, I heard that people were also, yeah, they were wearing diapers also because there was too many people, and they had to bring in too many outhouses as well, was another reason.
Well, another reason too is they don't want anybody being caught with, underwear bombs in their shorts.
Oh, who was it? Which Pope was it that came to, Toronto? Was it Pope John Paul?
Yes.
The second, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now apparently when he came, there's so many people that showed up that they overflowed and backed up the sewage system and the furniture. There was a furniture store called Idomo, okay, in North York there, and they had sewage backing up and coming out of their drains and ruined a bunch of furniture.
But it was okay because it was all holy shit.
It was shit.
Oh my gosh. Ay, ay, ay. Well, gentlemen, we got a break coming up. We'll get back on this one on the other side.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Squared Radio with Brooks Atkins.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Now, welcome to Detroit City. I said welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Yeah, we deep, everywhere we roll. Ask around and they all know tricky.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Now, yeah, we seem to be having a bit of technical difficulties again. Must be the lovely Canadian weather here. The internet's frozen, basically. It's so cold. That's how cold it is. But anyways, I think we've got Mark on the line.
Yep.
Hello, how's it going? Are we got everybody now?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. I'm back. Anyway. Back.
Waiting for Mark. Mitchie's can maybe.
Test, test, test.
Okay, we're back online.
Okay, nice.
Okay, so I don't know what's going on, folks. We don't usually have the audio problems. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, we seem to be back on. We'll try try this. I got Michael hosting the call.
The Truth Frequency.
Anyways, I don't know where we left off or what we were talking about before.
No, we're talking about the underwear bomber and the false flags that are coming out from all of these things, which I think even the London one, the Ottawa one, I'm believing that is could possibly be a false flag as well.
Yeah, and the Sydney one. That one is also very suspect.
Yes, yes.
There's a hostage one. And then they show clips on the news that this guy had been a street preacher, like a Islamic street preacher, though. And they show him he's got, like, walking around. There's some, he's wearing a sign in some of them. Some of them, you know, he's doing speeches in the streets.
Oh, is that the one they're framing up as a 9/11 truther?
I don't know about that, but they can do that with all these guys, cause that's what that's one of the things they put on a lot of these false flags, or the ones they blame on the terrorists, is that they claim that the Americans and the Jews did 9/11.
Right, that's one thing I'm noticing they're always throwing in there on the end of, oh, this ISIS member, oh, and by the way, there are, I believe 9/11 was an inside job. ISIS.
A lot of them, but then they also have to build up, too, that they claim it as a victory. So then in that sense, they do a mixed bag, I think, with that.
Yeah, it can't be both. You can't have terrorists running around claiming 9/11 as a victory for Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, have them at the same time running around claiming that it was an inside job. Can't be both.
Well, I have a bit of a theory going on here. See, if I'm Muslim, and I an act of terrorism, it's an act of terrorism, right? If I practice Islam, it's an act of terrorism. But what I've noticed is here in Canada, if I engage in acts of direct action like eco-terrorism, that's not terrorism, it's good, and people from government applaud that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of university professors, too, involved with these green movements.
Yeah, the jihadist recruiters in Canada work at the local universities. Same with America. Bill Ayers comes to mind down in the United States. Actual terrorist from the Weatherman Underground. Teaching your children how to be a good terrorist. And well, people are going into debt for this nonsense.
It's actually funny because you can go online and find who's visited Bill Ayers in jail. You know, people brag about it. And a lot of these people are like into the groups, the Deep Green Resistance and their predecessors, Earth First and DLF and ALF. And see, all they do is they just change the name of the group and, there you go. It's no longer a terrorist organization. Oh, they keep busting the group. You know, that changes its name. Okay, so then we'll just divide it into above ground and underground. That'll really fool them, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah. I'm actually going into any of the bookstores. I'm looking for this book. It's called Terrorism for Dummies. Do you know any of those books?
Terrorism for Dummies. No, yeah. I mean, just watch World Trade Center 7 fall at a fear into its own footprint.
Yeah.
Building is seven that anything dummies. Like, the government handbook for being an employee?
The government handbook for being a government employee. Step one, takes taxpayer money. Step two, feed taxpayer money into wood chipper. Step three, take taxpayer money and buy more gas for wood chipper.
Step four, pick up a golden toilet while you're at it.
Yes, you're going to need more golden toilets for the outhouse by the wood chipper.
It's ridiculous. I don't know.
So then France did a crackdown on free speech, too. They arrested some comedians. So did you hear about that?
What happened there, Daniel?
Well, it's a weird one just because the whole Je Suis Charlie thing is supposed to be a free speech thing. So,
yeah.
So who knows? I don't know. They just say that there's some like racist comedians and like people. It would look like it was just like Twitter comments and Facebook posts. I think what you need is a full magazine, like a glossy cover maybe. Then you can get away with this stuff. But if you're just like a person on social media, then...
Well, this mass protest. I've been
noticing, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brian. We're on a bit.
You know what I've been noticing is that these people who are saying "Je suis Charlie," a lot of them seem to come across to me as like lefties. I've like done like you know I see somebody using that and I look it up and oh wow, it's a left. But the thing is like, I've never really actually experienced any of them fighting for free speech. And I think it's just a fake battle that they're, using, on the left to try to, you know, sidetrack the issue.
Well, I mean, the left doesn't believe in free speech. They believe in political correctness, and you can't, the two cannot coexist. It's impossible. So, but I mean, this whole thing, they went a couple million worldwide marching in solidarity for what? For more government intervention, for more TSA with your hands down your pants, and let me check your underwear at the bus stop, and let me check your underwear at the train station, and let me check your underwear at the grocery store and at the shopping mall. And that's what they protested for. Basically, that's what I saw. A bunch of people, government, do something. Put your hands down my underwear and make me feel safe again.
I like when they did that staged photo, though, in France. Remember, with all the world leaders, and they're in a line?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It turned out it was a smaller crowd than they show in the photo, but they just framed it that way to make it look like they were, like, leading the march of the millions of people.
Netanyahu was there, and Merkel, and whoever else was there.
Oh, yeah. Because like, definitely seemed like a huge United Nations like left event, but then there's all these right politicians in it. So in that sense, it was like a united front because it's like Netanyahu, David Cameron, these guys are all conservatives. Guy that runs Egypt.
One of the things that I think people should look out for is whenever you see the word the solidarity being used, that's usually a good indicator that it isn't like that it is a partisan event. Because people on the right, they tend to avoid using that word. People on the left, they insist upon it. Whenever they throw an event, you have to show solidarity, you know. Don't dig into the issues too much. Just, you know, show your support for the issue of the day that they come up with.
Don't look into the issue and dig deep and find out every nook and cranny of the issue that they're so concerned about. Just blindly support us, or you're an asshole who hates Black people and natives. I mean, it's always some nonsense like that. It's just it's some type of brainwashing cult term. We stand in solidarity with the people of such and such. Meanwhile, you've never been there and you never will go there. And you have no idea what it's even like there. It's just like, I'm just going to blindly support this or that.
You don't like solidarity? What are you talking about? You should like solidarity, otherwise you're a racist, misogynist, homophobe.
Yes, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, if they watch the news on the TV, then that means they see it on the TV and they see it in that country, so they've actually been there without going there, right? So they know what's going on, right?
I Google mapped that country before and walked around virtually, so I stand in solidarity with the people of Ukraine for George Soros and the globalists to take over their country and rob them blind. Hey, maybe they can con him into joining the European Union economic death cult. You know, and that's what solidarity is. It's about standing blindly with some people for a cause, for a bunch of globalists or elitists that can con you into doing it. I don't know. That's
what I've noticed something as well. Like here in Canada, they were like talking about recently how they want to celebrate the maple leaf on a flag. And I'm kind of wondering, in Europe, are they like after the 50-year anniversary of the European Union, are they going to like celebrate the Tower of Babel that they use for that one?
Yeah, they should. Yeah, it does look like the Tower of Babel, doesn't it? What is it called? The European Union building? Or what? I don't know what they call that building.
It's the Tower of Babel. I mean, you can do a side-by-side comparison, and it's pretty much a replica of it. So, I mean, basically right there, they're admitting right on their currency and, like, you know, their own, like, letterhead and stuff, that they're building the Tower of Babel. It's something that's going to be destroyed later on, you know?
Yeah, where is that one in Brussels? It might be right beside the ITCCS headquarters.
That's funny. Yeah, I believe they both hold their own different versions of kangaroo courts there.
Well, I believe one holds the kangaroo courts in Brussels. I think the other holds kangaroo courts out of some trailer park in the south, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I don't know. I've only attended a couple of southern kangaroo courts in a trailer bathroom.
Well, it's surprising times when the Exopolitics is even changing, or, you know, taking videos off YouTube.
Well, let me tell you something about that, okay? This whole exopolitics, that's Weibre who's behind that, right?
And, yeah, Alfred Lamont Weber, yeah.
Okay, Weber, okay. I mentioned a while ago to Weber the fraud that was behind Kevin Annett. I even posted the evidence and stuff. And, you know, he was defending him and whatnot. And, you know, I just left it at that. I didn't think it would come back, you know, as an issue, right? And then lo and behold, I got surprised. Alex Hunter was doing a video because he was named as a juror. And I do remember him being named as a juror, but I can't find for the life of me the actual documents. I don't know if I saved them or not. Alex Hunter is someone that I woke up myself to Kevin Annett. I've got the video, like, recording right on YouTube of me doing that, and it took me 2 years to actually convince the guy that Mr. Annett was a fraud. And so it's very interesting to, like, watch, you know, how this whole thing's unfolding. The only thing that really surprises me is that, you know, it seems, why is this guy still operating? I mean, it's perfectly clear from his documents that he's running a kangaroo process. I mean, when you name people for criminal charges, you're supposed to list their name, not list "and others." I mean, that just sounds like an open-ended document. So it lists "and others" on pretrial hearing that they're going to have for Alex Hunter and Weber, because Kevin Annett has to, like, hold a fake court proceedings, which he's not going to show people, and that are going to have secret jurors and a secret judge. And it's open-ended enough that if he comes up with enemies that he has later on, he could just say, oh, well, you know, this person was one of the "and others."
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, like, and the funny thing is now that it's not somebody that's famous, right? It isn't Stephen Harper. It isn't the Queen. They've named Alex Hunter. Well, when people start harassing Alex Hunter, and when people start harassing Weibre, and I'm pretty sure it's already started, you know, isn't that criminal harassment when you're soliciting a mob to go and harass somebody for something that they had, like, no involvement in? It's not as though they're actually slandering Kevin Annett, because if they were, Kevin Annett could take them to an actual court to not run, you know, have to go through a fake ITCCS tribunal.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the same thing. I mean, I'd be in trouble if I solicited, you know, Randy or Ricky and Julian and maybe J-Rock and the Rock Pile to go mess up Kevin Annett's trailer while he was all out drinking or doing his kangaroo court. I'd be in trouble, you know. I don't know. Mr. Leahy, he'd probably kick me out of the park. I don't know, guys. It's just, it's gotten ridiculous. And this is, you know, for those who don't know, there's that documentary Unrepentant that Kevin Annett made. And, you know, it was quite a taking documentary. It was made quite a number of years ago. And people often will go over and they'll be speaking somewhere and give them $5 or a donation or whatever. And I mean, it's like, how much donations could he possibly be getting? Is it really worth taking these people who are being suckered into this and risking their own livelihoods and lives by thinking that they're going to go arrest the Queen or the Pope, and all they're really going to do is end up getting arrested?
Oh, I think it's far worse than that.
All this guy wants is your $5 or whatever change you got in your pocket, and he's willing to risk you going to jail to get your $5. Keep the
delusion. Do you know how we were talking about how the universities are brainwashing your children? Well, as it turns out, over at the University of Victoria and other universities here in Canada as well, I believe there's one in Nova Scotia that was actually using his book Hidden from History as course material. Okay, well, I think it was an Indigenous targeted program at the University of Victoria that was using it. Well, I'd like to wonder, like, you know, why are they promoting a fraud as course material in university, and why does the University of Victoria have absolutely nothing to say about it? They have nothing to say about it. They didn't even, you know, tell their students after the fact, oh yeah, by the way, this course material is a fraud, and you can tell right from the cover of the book Hidden from History, because that's not even an indigenous person with smallpox on the cover. It's a child from Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with some other illness, right?
Well, with smallpox, but oh, I mean, like, Kevin Annette has a bad habit of, like, just scooping images up from other places, copyright images. I'm surprised the original, like, the people who hold the copyright aren't suing the pants off him. I find that strange. It almost seems like he's protected, but he scooped.
When you buy a village, Ryan, no one's going to try to sue you. That's all I got to say. When you buy your pants at Value Village with $5 a change you got from some donator, you know, who's going to sue you? Like, they'll be wasting their time and money.
Oh, in my opinion, he just buys his pants there to look cheap. The guy has actually, I've got reports from people that they've sent him thousands of dollars. And I mean, that would make sense because, I mean, how much money would you have to be sent to be able to afford to fly from like, Canada to the US to Europe and all over the world? He's got quite the jet setting lifestyle at, other people's expenses. And, I mean, like, if I was an indigenous person, I'd be totally offended that the person that's championing my cause, the cause of my people, is not indigenous.
Well, I do renovations here in Ontario, and you know, I don't have a high rent where I live. I work all the time. I can't afford to fly anywhere, and not in any time in the foreseeable future do I predict that I would have the money to go fly anywhere. Even for a week vacation or anything. I mean, that's just totally out of the realm. And I don't work for another company. I do renovations. I could build all kinds of stuff. You know, so many trades that if you were to take the trades I know in trade school, you'd get out of school at the age of 90 and owe millions of dollars to the school and you still wouldn't have any work experience. But, yeah, I mean, I've got a job that it's not that bad paying and there's no way I could afford to fly anywhere. So, yeah, you got a point there, Ryan. How the hell does this guy afford to fly all over the place?
Well, it's even worse than that. While he's milking people for their thousands of dollars and jet setting and stuff, he goes to these places and he is just basically a mooch. He mooches a place to live. He mooches food. He mooches everything that he has. He's taken care of. And, woman that he like relates to, He sets them up. He's almost like David Suzuki in that he has to have female escorts, and not only that, but he gets the females to pay.
Yeah, that's next level.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's one of those things. I don't like to talk about other people in the alternative media. There's lots of people that I don't disagree with, but this guy's clearly running a scam. It's not a difference of views or opinions. You know, I used to support the guy years ago. I know many of the hosts here also supported the guy. You know, I've even donated money to his cause before years ago, thinking that everything was on the up and up. It wasn't until later people started saying, screaming bloody murder, that this guy's a scammer. And then looking into it, they realized that all these people screaming bloody murder that this guy's a scammer were former supporters that had donated lots of money to him. That warranted more looking into. So, and again, it's one of the most controversial. We've got a video about this, and it's one of the most controversial videos that Angry Beaver has put out there, is about Kevin Annette and the ITTCS or whatever it's called. But go ahead, Ryan.
Well, here's the thing that while you used to support him and stuff, I don't see anything wrong with formerly supporting somebody like that, so long as you let the people know that you. That he's a fraud, right? If somebody's going to promote him, then when they discover that he's a fraud, it should be their duty to let people know, the people that they, you know, promoted him to, that he's a fraud and don't support him. And here's the reasons why. So I noticed, in Weber's case, Andrew Weber's case, I have to commend the guy, even though I don't agree with a lot of his theories, like the Obama to Mars thing. I don't agree with that, you know, but I do have to commend him for actually coming out at some point and reporting the truth on Kevin Annette. conversely, I didn't see Alex Jones do that, and there's been a lot of people who have been letting him know that Kevin Annette's a fraud. Kevin Annette has been on Alex Jones's radio show twice. Well, I think Alex Jones has a duty to report the truth and to report the other side of the coin. But, I mean, despite all the emails that people have sent him, the only thing he has done is he's gone back on his invite for Kevin Annette to come back on the show again soon. That just never happened.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. I mean, you'd think they'd set a bit of a better standard there. I mean, we've seen this before. Previous, you know, regular guests you'd seen on Alex Jones' show mysteriously drop off the map, and it's often due to they're getting numerous reports of, hey, this person's scamming or this person's not on the up and up. And instead of coming out and saying, you know, fessing up, I don't know what the reason is. Maybe they don't want to offend the person. I'm not sure.
Public relations.
I think Lindsay Williams was one that they don't tend to have on very often anymore.
Well, maybe it's because Alex Jones is a.k.a. Bill Hicks.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. He'll retire next week.
Bill Hicks, yeah, right. Yeah.
Retiring soon.
Yeah, the retirement video.
The guy, Kevin Trudeau. Oh,
yeah, Kevin. I never understood the whole Alex Jones is Bill Hicks claims, or that Alex Jones is a Jesuit assassin, or he's some deep government agent. And it's like, look, I could understand people being skeptical of alternative media and, oh, how could he say all these things and get all this stuff out? But if he was really a government agent, he wouldn't have to sell so much stuff. I mean, so half the time the show's an advertisement in between the commercials. So, you know, like, if I could see some advertising, but not the level that he's at. And that goes for basically any of these alternative media. If they got a super amount of ads, they're in this for money. They're not in it for, you know, because the government's paying them. If the government was paying them, they wouldn't need all the ad money. They wouldn't need to sell you 10,000 water filters a day.
What I'd like to know is, with the $5 million net worth that Alex Jones has, you'd think he'd be making much bigger waves all across America with his efforts. I mean, here in Canada, I'm watching people engage in activism, do investigative journalism and that sort of thing. They don't have $5 million, but I see their actions rippling all across the nation and making some huge changes, changing up the game plan of the socialists. But with Alex Jones, you'd think $5 million would go a lot further, you know?
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
So I want to say have a good evening, everybody. Be safe.
Stay tuned, folks. There's more good radio here at truthfrequencyradio.com coming up.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.